The subject matter is precious memories. Brother Mike.
Thank you, brethren. And dear ones, it is certainly a blessed privilege to be here today with you. Enjoy a season of fellowship and feeding on His Word. We wanted to thank the Griffin family for their sacrifice and coming to get us at the airport and keeping us and so forth. And I appreciate that very much. And I wanted to also bring the love of Sister Vicky, my wife, who was unable to come with me, but she is here in spirit. And also want to bring the love of the brethren in Orlando. We meet three times a week, and on every occasion they voted to send love. So you have triple love brought to you today. Precious memories. Now, brethren, as we approach the end of another year, and in fact we're in the final third of 2006, what memories or what experiences would come to your mind that you want to draw from and apply them really to this new mind that you have? The experiences, what memories come into your minds? I'm sure that your minds go back to special events that took place in your lives during this year. Perhaps it was changes that have taken place in your life. Perhaps with jobs, with family. The changes that are taking place daily concerning the conditions of this world. The evidence of providences of prophecies being fulfilled, providential care. An overruling of all your interests for your highest welfare by your Heavenly Father. The ways that He overruled in your life, in the little things, and also in the great matters of life. Perhaps you focused on conventions that you attended, or meetings in your own local ecclesia. Perhaps it was a special study, a discourse, and you heard that study or that discourse, and you said, that applies to me. I needed that right now. And then you applied that to your new mind, your new creature development. Maybe you're especially touched with those things. Perhaps you have an opportunity, a special opportunity that you had to witness, to proclaim this wonderful kingdom of God that is going to continue and bring blessings to all the families of the earth. Maybe it was your experiences that you had with the brethren, the things that you shared together as members of the body of Christ, as yoke fellows together. Those of this like precious faith, the joys, the sorrows, the experiences, the times when we're in special need of prayer. And also when we were privileged to give a prayer, to render a prayer on behalf of someone else. And I know we've all been touched by the prayers that have been rendered by our brethren concerning our own circumstances. When we were then also privileged, as we had in our comments earlier, to give a cup of cold water to those who are laboring. Perhaps we're looking forward in the future to find opportunities to give that cup of cold water. And we must do that to those in need. And again, it's especially to those that we're talking about, those in the household of faith, the called, the chosen, and those desiring to be faithful. You know, brethren, we should really look as we approach the end of this year. It seems to me it just turned January 1st, and here we're at the end of October. In our fast-paced life, time goes on, but of course, in this life, we still have to go on each day studying, improving our character, and growing and developing in a way to pleasing to the Heavenly Father. So as we end this year, we should have really had the desire to end it the way we began the year. And really, it's going to be the verses that we have from Psalm 116, 12 to 14, which were read in your devotional service. Do we have these in our hearts and minds? And just to go over them again, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I will take that cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now and in the presence of all of his people. These words are familiar. We read them. We hear them every Sunday. We hear them at conventions. They begin our morning resolve. And they should also be our really a resolution in our lives that are we living up to that? What we resolve, the words that we say, are we living up to that in our hearts, in our actions, in our conduct? So we should make this a resolution for the rest of this year and also each day, really, that we're privileged to walk in this narrow way, which leads to that beautiful subject, the glory, the honor, and immortality. So we should not only desire to have this in our lives, but again, that daily attitude of heart and mind, that we are really reaffirming our heart's desire to know and to do the will of God, no matter what circumstances come. We want to have that attitude to suffer in fellowship with our Lord. Again, that was in our morning devotions. And can you take this cup? Are you willing to drink of it? Can you be baptized with that baptism that I am baptized with? It's so important for us to keep that in our minds and then to do the things that our hands find to do to serve the Heavenly Father, the cause of truth and righteousness. And so far, this year should have been the best year for us of having our largest hopes, our largest endeavors. And as we go on, then, of our largest, really, our fullest successes in self-sacrifice. And that's really what we're talking about. You giving of your all to the Lord. And you desire then to overcome the flesh, the world, the spirit of the world, which is so rampant today. Anything goes in the world today, and it's accepted. But to the child of God, it's wrong. We desire to put down the weaknesses of the flesh, of the old man, to strive to fight the adversary. And of course, the Heavenly Father promised through His Son He would never leave us or forsake us. He promised to cover us with that robe of righteousness, that we can gain a victory and obtain that prize, and that we then do all we can in our lives to glorify our Lord. And in the blessing of His people, and those are the ones that you're seeing sitting next to you in this meeting place, and indeed our brethren throughout the world. And with that comes this attitude of heart and the actions that you resolve to strive to be simple and sincere toward all. Not to seek and honor self, but the Lord. To be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. We have that, it's a holy tongue, an anointed tongue, an oily tongue. And so that tongue should be speaking forth praises and words of encouragement one to another. I want to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren. I want to be honest with everyone that I have contact with. And again, not only in the great matters, but the little things of life. The daily things that you come in contact with, the experiences, and perhaps things only known to you and the Lord. How are you handling those? How are you dealing with those? And then you trust yourself to that divine care and again, that providential overruling for all of your best interests and your highest welfare. And if you think on those things, you will then strive to, in your heart, neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit. Why? Because faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. So do we daily have those words committed to our hearts and minds? Do we have that vow that we also read committed to our character? May thy rule, dear Father, in heaven come into my heart more and more, and thy will be done in my mortal body. You know, I'm striving to mortify those deeds of the flesh and have that new mind more and more take over and control my thoughts, my words, my actions. He gives this promised grace to help in every time of need. But the key word there is that I want to rely on that. I want to rely on it because we cannot rely on self. If we relied on self, we would certainly fall short. You know, but lean on me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Doesn't say rest from your efforts of striving to serve God, but rest and peace with him, knowing that everything is being worked out according to his plans and purposes. So I want to approach you, dear Father, through your Son. And as I do this, I want to remember those, again, our yoke fellows. I remember the dear co-laborers everywhere, the harvest work, and that I am privileged to enjoy, and those that share in that work. So, brethren, how precious are our memories? How precious are they? They are so important that we have been told by the Heavenly Father, vow to remember to do the will of God daily in our lives. For we owe our all to the Father through the Son. And we realize in 1 Corinthians 8:6, all things are of the Father and by the Son. So remember, these words are given from the Father. And he said these things, ye are not your own, but you are bought and paid for with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And what does it say then? Which are your own? No, it says, which are God's. So when we made that consecration vow, we vowed to give everything to the Heavenly Father. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Our understanding of this, again, is that it's our time, our talent, our influence, our money. All that we would consider precious or in any degree valuable properly belongs to the Lord. And then, even further, it is even our life itself. We vowed that consecration vow to give up our life rights to an earthly inheritance, setting our sights on things above. And we know that scripture where moth and rust do not decay them, but we're laying up the precious things. Knowing that he that which raised up our Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Though that outward man perish, then that inward man is renewed day by day. And in some cases in our lives, some of us who have had illnesses, it is moment by moment. It may be hour by hour. But you know, having worked in a hospital, when you see our brother and hear reports about them, I went to visit a sister and they said, she's very ill, but she has such a good attitude. She's so happy. I can see a peace in her. You know, and you're not going to find that any place else but with those of the household of faith, because indeed they have laid their all upon the altar of sacrifice. And so our light affliction, which is but for a moment, would work in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Again, while we look at those things which are seen not at those things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For again, the things that we see, they're temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's Paul's words from 2 Corinthians 4:14-18. And so, dear brethren, thanks be to God that He has preserved us throughout this year and today. He's kept us from falling each day. And as we want to desire to serve Him with our whole heart, let us then resist steadfast until the end. And if we do this, then we trust that this spiritual house of God, the body of Christ, cannot be shaken, because it's firmly grounded on that rock, our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, and the example of His apostles, the prophets, that were told these good tidings of great joy and the things that would come to pass. Again, for ye were bought with a price, the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And so we realize that as the church is this temple of God, becoming perfect on the heavenly plane, each member begotten of the Holy Spirit as a new creature has to realize that God is dwelling within you. We know that scripture, if God be for us or before you, who can be against you? And nothing will stand in the way of God's plans and purposes being carried out. We see boastful statements made today by leaders in the world. I'm going to wipe out Christianity. I'm going to nail your own self to that cross, and you're going to have your blood on the cross of your Savior. These are words that are spoken, and of course the Heavenly Father will bring everyone to their knees, and they will know who the true and living God is. But in our own lives, as we go through experiences, knowing that, of course, the Heavenly Father is letting these things work out according to His plans and purposes, I wanted to go to a text in Hebrews 12:3. It's Hebrews 12:3, and you know this one. You can, for consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, unless you become faint and weary in your minds. And so we are told to study out, comprehend, appreciate our Lord's course, His example, His teaching. So take note of, have in mind, call to remembrance. And aren't we blessed that the Heavenly Father, when He created man, He gave him that capacity to remember. And then to build upon those things which we would call experience. We realize, though, sometimes our mind can be a special battleground. The old mind against the new mind. But we want to remember the meekness, the patience, the sufferings of Christ, the things that He endured unjustly. And when He was persecuted, He murmured not, He complained not, He opened not His mouth. But He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Now, just in your daily life, you could just be going around your average life, shopping, going to work, and people just react to things that are not even true or real in many circumstances. And this is the world in which we're striving to separate ourselves from. And we're going to have trials and difficulties because we know that darkness hates the light. And these hard experiences that the Lord endured, again, it's our light affliction. But we indeed need to go through them. And then to drink whatever the Father shall pour out for us in our cup. His cup, the cup of suffering. There's the ignominy, the shame. And then it is our desire to faithfully endure to the end. You know, brethren, as we think more about and contemplate about the memory, we realize that a memory is a prized possession in the world today. I think the memory of the saints is a prized possession to the Heavenly Father. How many times in your life have you heard, that person has a good memory? He has a good memory for facts, for numbers, for names. So this memory, again, is defined as a process of recalling to mind facts, of course, previously learned, past experiences, things heard. But of course, as the Heavenly Father designed us, He doesn't want us to remember every sound. If you focus on things, you may hear the sound of a fan, an air conditioner, something else. Those things we blot out. And I think those are like the cares of the world. We separate those from the Word of God because we have eyes that see and ears that hear. And then we can focus and really get that meat and feast on those good things. So retaining, reviving the mind, the past thoughts, images, ideas, the remembrance, recollection, and also to reminisce about things. Looking back again in our lives at the way the Heavenly Father has led us. So our memory, our base to remember, to recall, involves this process of thinking on the things, and as you do think on the things of the Heavenly Father, it leads you to further connections and further development as a new creature in Christ Jesus. But as we are prone to remember, we also, as we are tabernacled in these earthen vessels, we are prone sometimes to forget. Part of the Adamic curse. And that's why we have to go back to the Lord's storehouse for more instruction, to hear more of the Word of God, to meet together, to study, to share experiences, to share comments. And that's that word rightly spoken, like apples of gold, pitchers of silver, so forth. Wonderful things that we can apply to our memories. And as we do that, we look at His instruction, we hear the instruction from the Heavenly Father, and then we have to follow it. We have to do His will. Again, not only hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. It's brought out in 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15, you know this one, study to show yourselves acceptable, approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And here we have implied how much we need to do, to be careful in our thoughts and experiences, and how much we should be striving to examine ourselves, that are we making the progress that we should be making? And be not ashamed. In my area in which I live, of course, we meet in a YMCA. I was talking to a lady at work. They're building this huge church. They grew out of their one church that had about 4,000. They're building a 25,000 seat church. Jumbotrons, screens. They can send their message to another building where the younger people might be. And she kind of scoffed and, well, you know, I'll pray for you because you can't have God's knowledge or truth. So, are we ashamed of it? And what do you say? Well, I'm serving the true and living God, and I've made a vow to lay down my life to service and this sacrifice, and I want to make progress. You know, brethren, in the educational setting, we have several teachers here. And really, in the matters of life in general, we have been shown that repetition of information, study, practice, rehearsal of important facts and concepts, the goal is that it leads to learning. And if you learn that, you're applying it. You put it in your memory. It's that practice makes perfect, they used to say when I was in grade school. And you want to practice, because if you are practicing these things, if you are ridding your lives of the imperfections, the things that are displeasing to God, putting into practice His new law of love and devotion and sacrifice, it will make you perfect. Because you're going on to heaven and to be living in heaven with our Father. And so as we want to practice, again, it's studying. It's our intention that we look at what the Father has in store for us now, and also what is in store for the world of mankind. As we see misery and sorrow, we realize that scripture, that that's going to flee away. Sorrow and sighing flee away. Nothing will hurt or destroy in God's holy mountain. And all one day will know of Him from the least to the greatest. Again, we all know that one day there will be no dispute who is God. We've heard it said, what is truth? We answer, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's truth. And as you do these things, as you ponder them, as you think upon them, you think of His precious promises. Again, I like the one about the lame man leaping as in the heart, the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Perhaps you like the one that comes from that's the one from Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. Again, blind eyes open, ears of the deaf unstop. The joys of physical imperfections being done away with. And then the blocks that lead man to really obedience to God and spiritual understanding are also removed. Perhaps it's one that we already said, the blessedness of your eyes seeing and your ears hearing. Colossians 1, 27 and 28. To whom God would make known the riches of His glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And what is that? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning, again, to complete. Paul was, these things are said that he wants to have you be thoroughly furnished to go through your experiences. For every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So we are told that we are supposed to take heed to have our heart really entirely emptied of self and self-will. Again, that takes daily practice. Put the Lord first in our lives. Colossians 4:12. That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And we realize also that this type of a life is centered around love. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your being, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Also, that you love one another as I have loved you, John 15, 12 and 17, and 2 John 5 also. Looking to that author and the finisher of our faith. Romans 5, 1 to 6. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have this peace of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then we have access to this peace, to this faith, to this grace when we stand, and then it leads us to rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Because we remember, if we glory in tribulations, we realize the Lord is working out for us. He's doing that chiseling and shaping for us. And remember that Tribulation worketh patience, patience experience. Experience, that's what we're adding to our memories, the precious memories, and then hope. And then hope again maketh us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of understanding, which is given to us from the Heavenly Father. So, brethren, let us go on in our lives. Let us strive to do all we can to serve the Heavenly Father. But also remembering that we have an active service. It's an active service. And the pastor writes in reprint 10:22, and really the first article, 10:22, Christian experience is not sitting down and letting the Spirit of God work in our hearts, and we would be doing nothing. It is not only inspired by ardent songs, praises, prayers, Christian fellowship, which are important, but he says it's more. It's putting off the old man. It's resisting the adversary steadfast. The pastor also says it's growth in grace. It's the building of our character. It's striving to keep our robes unspotted from the world. And again, it is an active service. We realize that God loved us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. We've applied these things to our memories. We remember his teachings. We strive again to use them in our daily lives. And then if we do this, we have put on Christ, and let that mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. He sought daily to do the will of his Father. And he went to him. And he prayed for guidance and help and understanding. And again, we do the same thing in our lives. We pray for that guidance, help, understanding. And it shows us how much we should have an active prayer life. We're told to pray without ceasing. Be instant in prayer. Are our minds attuned to God's will? We want to take a step of obedience each day. Now, we entered into that court in the tabernacle arrangement. It was a condition of faith and peace. And then as we went on, you progress and you enter that complete rest and peace with God, which lies beyond that veil, when your life of its trials and testings and experiences, the sorrows, but the joys also, are manifest. Our brother in our class, Brother Leonard Wessel, he always says, smile, we should be the happiest people that there are on earth. And he likes that, he calls it Formula 828, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And what a wonderful thing to commit to our memories and to think of that. And then to have love being this spirit that is involved in everyone who are truly members of the body of Christ. And if we do that, through the Holy Spirit, that new mind, we have the capacity again to know that breadth, length, depth, height of God's plan, and then apply it through his love. He's given us the opportunity to have a full comprehension of it, as we are privileged to receive through his grace. This little flock, the wonderful promises granted to us now, it says, to usward who believe, words brought out in Luke 12:32. And so, brethren, we want to recall to mind each day the wonderful promises of the Heavenly Father, the wonderful circumstances that we've seen. We want to remember the sufferings of our yoke fellows, Philippians 4:3. The ones who have their names written on heavenly scrolls, because they indeed secure divine favor and have their names written in God's book of remembrance. And we realize that our Lord had a memory, of course. And what about it? In John 8:58, he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." The man Christ Jesus who came down and he died on the cross, and then he was raised to glory with his heavenly Father. And so we realize words from Hebrews 13:3. Christ Jesus the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the same forever. Because as he realized, he said in John 3:34, "I'm that bread of life which come down from heaven." And then the rest of it, as it applies, if a man eats of that, he will never die. The church being sustained by this bread of life. And he also said in John 17:5, "Glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." And so, what a loving disposition the Son has concerning the Father. What comfort it should bring to our minds. Our memories should be really receive these words of the Lord. "I and my Father are one." One in harmony. One in purpose. One in love and devotion to that wonderful plan. And also, our Lord promised that he would remember all of us. Again, the words that we spoke earlier, "You come unto him when you are laboring, you're heavy laden, he'll give you rest." You're called to one hope, one calling. And so this memory is a means of identification of our personality. And if you do that, you progress, you grow, and that is all of our desires, I know. So, brethren, as we draw our thoughts to a close, remember the words, "Whatsoever things are true, just, lovely, of a good report, think on, remember those things." And, brethren, stir up each other's minds to grow and develop to good works. And this is done by in and through and with the provisions that the Lord has made for us. He gave us that capacity to remember, and also he gave us the capacity to forget the faults of others and look at our own selves within our own hearts, of doing important things, honest things, edify the body members, give praise to God. It says in Galatians 2:10, "We should remember the poor, that this time of sorrow of the world will soon end, and unspeakable joy will come." So, brethren, let us continue to put God first in our lives and service to the brethren. Let us give thanks for his providential care, overruling for all of our interests for our highest welfare. And remembering precious memories, unseen treasures, the sacred scenes unfold. May the Lord bless you all.